Welcome, listeners, to another episode of The Pursuit of Perfectness, the show where we explore perfectionism and how it manifests within ourselves and in our culture. I'm Ellen Matthews.
And I'm Dennis Pacheco. We've got your weather coming up. On the ones. Sorry, Ellen, you sounded exactly like a news anchor, which is a wonderful thing to be.
I really did, because this is the first time that I'm actually reading it, because I've just like wung it every other time. Is wung it a word? And I haven't been happy with it. So I'm like, why don't I write it down and read it? But now I sound like a news anchor.
Well, folks, this listeners, is now a news podcast.
We're changing the dynamic completely.
Yeah. No, this is a podcast about perfectionism, like Ellen just said. So,
and we're not going to take it again, because we want to sit. We want to sit with it.
Yeah, we're going to wung it.
Dennis, are you so excited for today's episode?
I am so excited. We've got one of our dearest and nearest friends. I feel like I overstepped, but we've got a good friend. I don't know. I can't speak to our guest's heart. But I have good feelings.
I have good feelings, too. Of course, Dennis, I'll come to your rescue. We have such an amazing guest today. We're going to bring him in from the green room in just a minute. His name is Jamie Rivera, and he is not only a very close friend of Dennis and ours, like extremely close. I would say, like, if we were MySpace friends, we'd be in the top eight. I would hope. Also, a magnet theater performer and teacher, and our personal coach for our Wednesday night team. And he is also an amateur toy photographer. Now, Dennis, do you know a lot about toy photography?
All I know is what I've seen in Jamie's Instagram feed, which is beautiful.
Which is gorgeous.
So everybody listening now, head on over to Instagram. JamRivFigs, JamRivFigs is his handle. And, you know, we're talking about him like he's not here. Ladies and gentlemen,
but he is
Jamie
here.
Rivera.
Yay!
Welcome. Hi, Jamie.
Hey. Hello, close friends.
Hello.
Best
closest
buddies.
Of friends. Did you bring your friendship bracelet?
I did. I never take it off. Wherever I go, I take it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, thank you for being a friend.
I just got into Golden Girls. I've never watched it. Yeah, I never watched it like in the 40 years that it's been out. And I just started watching it. I'm at the end of the first season, and it's a great show.
It is
timeless. It really is.
Yeah.
It's still great. And what got you into it? Was this a pandemic binge?
It was the passing of Betty White, and there was a clip going around of her improvising a story at the kitchen table with Bea Arthur and Rue McClanahan. I didn't mean to say her name all weird. I was just trying to work my way through it. But and she makes them break. And it was like, oh, that's pretty funny. Maybe I should give this show a shot, because I didn't think I would be able to identify with it, really. But I think, like, getting a little older, like, yeah, I wouldn't have identified with it as much now as I wouldn't have identified it back when it came out as I do now. Like, now is a good time for me to watch this show.
Yeah.
So did she improvise all those stories? I mean, I'm just realizing now, I remember more than I thought I did about St. Olaf, the town that she was from, right?
That's the impression that I get, because there are a lot of those scenes of them sitting around the kitchen table.
Yeah.
And you can see the other two at times seem to, like, kind of turn away from the camera almost, as if to, like, not show that they're about to laugh. And to avoid making eye contact with her, so they don't, like, go over the edge and completely break and ruin a take or whatever. So I get that. Or maybe she has, like, an outline, and then or maybe like a point A that she hits and then like a point G that she hits and then everything in the middle is kind of, I don't know, but it does seem like, I mean, they're all terrific, actresses. So, it seems like it's fresh. I wouldn't be surprised if she did make it up because, from stuff that I've heard, she was quite a card.
That's amazing. Credit card. That's so impressive.
Yeah.
It's like a dream job. You go, for me anyway, you're in a sitcom and then you get to sit around and make shit up, improvise. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So steady paycheck. That's the dream.
And she's maybe great at it.
I know. Oh, yeah. That's also a thing. Gotta be super great at it. Yeah. Oh, well, that's great. I'm glad you found that show. That brand new show. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to talk to you about all different things, but I gotta know about this toy photography. All I know, like Dennis, is from your Instagram. It's so cool looking. Can you tell us how you even how you got into this, how you even figured out it was a thing? Tell us your genesis story.
I've been collecting action figures for seriously for several years now. Hasbro started releasing a line called Star Wars Black Series, which was they're a little bit bigger than like the old school Star Wars figures, which were about 3 3/4 inches. These are 6 inches, and they have a lot more detail. And I thought they looked really cool, so I was like, oh, let me pick those up. And I think they were geared towards older collectors. They're not necessarily for kids. I got into that, and then through that, I would find like toy reviews, action figure reviews on YouTube and watch those. And then that segued into, toy photography. So I started following like a bunch of accounts on Instagram. And I think it kind of ties into, when I was maybe in high school, I kind of wanted to be like a music video director. So I think it kind of taps into that a little bit. Like a lot of times when I was listening to music, I would kind of have like shots in my head based on maybe the lyrics of the song or whatever. And like the band, if I was a big fan of the band. It wasn't something that I ever did. Like I hadn't really worked in like a visual medium like that. So, it was an opportunity, to do that. And I had like a lot of free time during the pandemic.
Sure.
So it was just like, I think it was finding something to just kind of get my ass out of the house a little bit, you know, go out to the park and lay down some figs and snap some shots, baby.
Is that the language? Lay down some figs. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's how we all talk. You know, like amazing. We're Michael Bay. If he was taking action figure pictures, which I guess he kind of does.
Yeah. So it started with watching toy reviews on YouTube, and then you kind of fell down a YouTube wormhole of like, this leads to toy photography.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so did you have a background in photography at all?
Not at all.
Cause it's not just like you take the figure and you put it in front of like a backdrop and then take a picture. You like add effects to it, and there's like a lot more involved in it. There's props, right?
Yeah. And that's a lot of stuff that I learned because initially that was all I was doing was just I would put it in front of my TV. I would find like a screenshot that was kind of a suitable background and then hook up my TV to my computer and then set up the figure in front of the TV and then that kind of like rear projection, I guess, in film.
Yeah.
And then I found that you could download Photoshop for free on your phone. And I do all the work on my phone. So I started using that. And then there are other apps. Once I got like really serious, I downloaded an app that I had to pay for, and that was to create lightsaber effects. And that was like a big step for me. And then since then, there's like another app that I use that adds other kinds of effects, like explosions and stuff like that. And that costs money. So it was like, oh, you're really getting into this. If it like it's still like more or less a hobby, I guess, but like a serious hobby, I guess you could say.
Sure. And are you using all action figures that you already had, or are you purchasing new ones specifically for like an idea you have?
Well, I'm constantly like buying new figures.
Okay.
Because they keep rolling them out. I mean, if you think about Marvel characters, like there's a very large number of Marvel characters, but I also collect Star Wars figures and G.I. Joe figures. So I have like I don't know exactly, but like a few hundred figures. And chances are if I have an idea for a shot, I probably have that figure or it's like on its way at some point. But I try to just, as far as just buying figures, just try to get figures that I like. Because if that's how I started, and it helps keep my costs down a little bit. Like if I buy every figure, then I would be bankrupt.
Yeah, like there's no upper limit to how much you can spend on a toy, because there's serious collectors at like every level. I used to work at Forbidden Planet, and you know, and you could really drop some money on some of these figures.
Yeah. And there's figures with like mine are kind of mid-level figures. They probably retail about like $20-$25 each. But they're like upper elite figures that have like a lot more articulation and maybe have like better sculpting. Mm-hmm. And those can be like $100, $200. Like I saw a figure the other day that went up for pre-order. And it was like, oh God, it's so beautiful. I would love to own that and shoot it. But it was just, for me, prohibitively expensive. Yeah. So I'm like, I won't. And I have plenty. I have so many figures that more than I know what to do with. So I'm okay.
I think part of the fun of those photos is you can see that they are action figures. You're not trying to fool anybody. So, you know, but right. Those very like realistic poses, they look like grim and serious depending on what you're going for. But you can see the points of articulation and yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, and I thought about kind of taking those out, like editing, like smoothing it out a little bit to make them more realistic. But I agree. I think that's part of the fun is just seeing like that first glance. Like someone told me that they were looking at one of my pictures and their husband happened to see it and then was surprised that it wasn't a still from a movie. But you have to like kind of look at it a little bit to see like, oh, that's the seam where like the knee joint is before you catch that. So yeah, I think that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to do this? Like from beginning to end?
The longest thing is probably like setting up the shot, depending on how long or how complicated the shot is. Most of my shots are just one figure, which makes it pretty easy. But if I'm the more figures you add to it, the more complicated it is. And for some reason, like
I was just gonna say, how about this one with Luke Skywalker mid cartwheel and Yoda? Uh-huh. That one seems like it probably involved a lot of prep.
It did. And that was like a part of a series of shots that I took. So it probably, like if I had just done that one, then it would have been very long. But because I already had like all the stuff out and all my equipment out and whatnot, it was more efficient to take like a bunch of shots with that. But, and that one was rough because it was, on uneven ground. So it was hard to get, Luke to stand, and I edited it out, but there's a, there's like a stand that's kind of holding him up in that, that handstand. I took it out, but even with that help to balance the figure, it still took a while. And then to get like Yoda in the right place, and I was trying to evoke like a, like some kind of emotion. I don't know if it comes across, but, kind of like a little bit of a sadness, to Yoda especially, so it's just like taking like a bunch of shots, looking at them and being like, I need to tilt his head down a little bit or move his cane, over. So it kind of looks like he's, playing in the dirt with the cane. but it's a lot of trial and error. I guess it took like probably like 15 or probably like 30 minutes just for that shot. And then there's like editing and stuff like that later.
It's so interesting that you like talk about how like the emotion, and it's interesting because they're like, they're action figures, right? They're not going to have, they have still faces, but you were able to capture like a feeling here, like just with the placement and kind of how you make them look. And it's really like, it really reads as a true photograph, like you were photographing people, like capturing emotions, even though it's just plastic action figures.
Thanks.
It's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes
and
it's
in the back, kind of just like free spirit. And then Yoda's like very serious. It's a nice juxtaposition.
Yeah. Well, at that point in the movie, like Luke doesn't really know what's going on and he's still kind of innocent. Like he hasn't really, he doesn't know the stuff that he's going to learn about his father later. So he is kind of innocent and it is like, wee, look at me, wee. And Yoda's just like, my dude, you don't even know what's ahead of you. There's some shit that's about to, should I tell him? You know?
He's having so fun doing those cartwheels.
Maybe you should just stay here where he's happy. But the rest of the universe, what do I do?
Oh, man, oh, man. Yeah, you're really capturing that in this moment.
I'm looking at the one you have of Edward Scissorhands in the snow, and it's like really captures, it, you know, captures the mood of the melancholy, you know. And it's lighting. You're thinking about lighting, obviously, a lot, and color. So there's stands that you edit out, huh? So that's how you do it.
On some of them, yeah. Once in a while, I can just get him to stand, but yeah. And I should also say, like, a lot of the emotion that comes from the figures is just comes from how well the figures are sculpted, and how well they're painted. Like that's all the work right there, or that's most of the work right there. It is from there, it's just a matter of just setting it up in like the right place, I guess. So in that sense, there's not like a whole lot of work, because the artists that work on these figures are so amazing. I would love to just go to like a factory and see how they're manufactured, or even like a video that goes through a process from like beginning to end of like designing the sculpt, which I believe they do digitally, and how they paint it and color it, and then the actual physical manufacturing. Like I would love to see something like that, but a lot of the work is already done for me. It's just highlighting it, I guess.
I have a question. Just thinking about how much work and artistic talent goes into sculpting these figures, and then on top of that, you taking your artistic, you know, talent and using these pieces of art and then making artwork of your own. It's very, like, it's very interesting. It's very artistic. Do you feel like because they are toys, it's kind of seen as, like, less than? Because it's like, oh, they're just toys, even though they're, like, fantastic pieces of artwork in reality.
Yeah, I mean, it. I don't know if I would hesitate to call the stuff that I put up art, because I don't know if that's for me to judge.
Well, I'm calling it art.
fair enough. I'm an artist now. Or at least that's the fear that I have, I guess. Because it is like a, you could think of it as like a kiddie kind of pursuit, or like a childish pursuit. I remember once posting on, I think it was Facebook or maybe Twitter, like, please someone talk me out of buying these three $20 figures. And someone responding like, Jamie, don't do it. Grow up. And it was someone that I respected.
Oh no, that's even worse.
Yeah. Maybe I'll tell you guys who it is later. I don't want to call them out on air.
Does this person know that we all play make believe with each other on stage?
But they're very serious about it.
Okay. Yeah,
I'll leave that clue out for the listeners. If you can deduce it from that, bravo. But yeah, so, I mean, there was at least like one person that had kind of articulated that view. And I think because I'm kind of, I don't know if neurotic is the right word, self-conscious maybe. Uh-huh.
That we're all about that at the Pursuit of Perfectness pod. So you're in good company.
But yeah, I was really self-conscious about it, and like, and I know like kind of nerd or geek culture has come a long way in mm-hmm. the last several years or decade or so. But I still feel like there is kind of like that view of like a, you know, this is a fucking 40-year-old virgin type guy, you know? And mm-hmm. while that's mm-hmm. fun to like watch on screen, dealing with that kind of person in real life may not be everyone's cup of tea. And I've been pretty lucky in that I've had people around me that have been supportive, but that once in a while that's something that kind of creeps into my mind, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to talk about neuroses and self-consciousness a little bit. Is that okay?
Yeah, let's.
We love that. We're all about that.
Let's do it.
Yeah, because you know that keeps us back from doing so many things that we just that would just bring us joy. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, are people going to judge me and think I'm bad at this, childish, you know, or whatever? And yeah, I mean, you just have to push through that. So like being able to be like, you know what, I'm going to do this thing that a lot of people are going to think is childish. Is I mean that's I applaud you for doing that. You know, is there a time when you had to just be like, you know what, fuck it? Did you have that like moment?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I got a little help too, because I was kind of the first picture I took was I don't want to say gag, but it was just something that I was doing for fun on Christmas. I did a picture of Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader because they had like the green and the red lightsaber, and it's like, oh, that's Christmas, and then put it with like a wintry backdrop, and I sent that to a few friends, and you know, Merry Christmas, and it was kind of a Christmas card, and I enjoyed that process, and I think it was just because I had been following toy photography for a little bit at that point. And it was like, this is something that I've kind of been wanting to try. And I tried it and I had fun with it. And I still didn't really do anything with it until like maybe a month later. I think my I was having a birthday, and we were talking a little bit before about how like depressing pandemic birthdays can be. And I was feeling that quite a bit. So it was just something like, you know, just do it and have fun, you know, like just do something to get out of the house and something that gets you having fun in this shitty time that we're all in. And then I think a couple times I came across, this famous Joseph Campbell quote where he says, follow your bliss. And that kind of became like a little bit of a mantra for me. You know, it's like, if people don't like it, that's fine. Not everyone. If you want to just use the term art, your art doesn't have to be for everyone. Like the stuff that you do doesn't have to be for everyone. It doesn't have to satisfy everyone. It's probably better if it satisfies you, and then you can let whatever audience that appeals to kind of gravitate towards that. And not that I have a huge audience, but it is something that satisfies me. Like I am the type of perfectionist I am. I'm that kind of cliche where they won't try something unless they can get it right, like get it perfect. Yes. Then they'll just mm-hmm. not even attempt it, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's me. And what I've learned in the process or in this pursuit is that it doesn't have to, like, even the end product doesn't have to be perfect. And even like working towards that can be fun, like figuring out the puzzle of how to get this shot, translating the shot that I have in my mind's eye into the camera. Because a camera's eye works different than your eye, you know? Like, you may see it from a certain angle, and you have to get the camera to kind of line up with your vision, you know, kind of coax it into your idea. And it reminded me a little bit of, I have a friend, Michael, who's a bartender. He's a bartender at a restaurant that I worked at. And, we were talking about scotch one day, and I was saying how I would like to get into scotch, but I haven't. So I think, like, after work that day, we went and had some scotch, and he was like giving me like different types of scotch to try. And it took a while to adjust to it, to get used to it. Cause it has that burn. And I mentioned like, yeah, I like this a lot more now. Like maybe it's cause I'm used to that burn. He's like, yeah, if you're going to drink scotch, you got to learn to love the burn. So I think this was kind of me learning to love the burn as far as like working through a problem. Like, it's not something that should turn me off from working through it. It's something that I should learn to enjoy. And then also like when I'm doing that, like I'm pretty focused on it. So I'm not thinking of it. It is a form of escapism, I guess. Cause I'm not thinking about like, again, how shitty the world is and all this crap that's happening. I'm not thinking about that. For the time that I'm working on the shot and trying to get it right, that's the one thing that I'm focused on. So it's like a pleasant kind of constructive, maybe, form of escapism for me.
The way you talk about it sounds like getting into the zone of like getting into this, like your brainwaves kind of like, do you know what I mean? Like you get into this meditative state of mind.
I would also use the word meditative, cause it is like, I don't know. Like I've come out of it sometimes like, wow, that much time has passed. Or there was one shoot I was doing, where I was, trying to do like there's a spider punk, figure. It's like Spider-Man. If he was like a punk rocker with like a guitar and like a jean jacket and like a mohawk made out of spikes on his head. So I wanted to do like, what would it be like if he was in concert? And I had so much fun with that. And I looked back on it and it was like, wow, you took over 300 shots. 300 pictures of just this scene. And I went through like a few different poses, but it, like for me, especially that early on, it was a lot. But yeah, meditative is a good word, for me at least. It's how I would describe it.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely worse ways to spend an afternoon. You could just be watching, binge watching some terrible show. Not Golden Girls. Golden Girls is great.
It's so good. It's so good.
But yeah, you know, the other thing I wanted to ask about was just how while you're doing this, while you're putting it out there and showing the process to an audience while you're learning to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds familiar.
This
podcast. Expand on that, Alan. The podcast.
I was like,
Dennis, sorry, you and I got that one, bro. Yeah. You and I knew what she was talking about there.
I'm learning on the job.
Although I think you could also apply that to improv, which we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's also true.
We all learn to do it by doing it bad for a while in front of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so that there's that extra, yeah, that can stop a lot of people from trying something that they like, this looks fun, but I'm scared of failing in front of people while I'm learning to do it. You know what I mean?
So like, yeah.
You have to, I guess, learn to love the burn.
Yeah, and I also try not to be concerned about that, because I think using Instagram and social media is kind of my venue for sharing, and then that, like, those things are attached to likes, you know?
Right.
So it's something that seems to kind of qualify those things. You know, like, this picture is good because it got this many likes, and this picture isn't as good because it got fewer likes. And that's something that I've kind of learned to, I still kind of deal with it a little bit, but there'll be times when, like, I'll be very excited. I've worked on this picture for like a day or two, and I'm like, I can't wait for people to see this. I think people really like it, and then it gets like 15 likes, and it's like, God damn it, but. After maybe a little bit of disappointment, like, I'm still pretty pleased with that picture. And
yeah.
For someone like me, because I tend to be, not to toot my own horn, but I tend to be pretty modest, you know, which is kind of another thing that I learned, that it's okay to be proud of, like, your work. You know, and you can do that and not be like a dick about it, but also kind of be realistic, and you don't have to feign modesty. You can just, if someone says, "Hey, that was a really cool picture," and it's like, "Thanks." You know, there's no need to talk someone out of that, or, like, you know, even if I see, like, a picture later, a lot of times I'll see, like, I should have fixed that. Or I wish I adjusted, I tweaked that pose a little bit more, and that'll stand out to me. But it shouldn't take away from the good things about that, if that makes sense.
I think we all have a tendency to, like, when somebody says a compliment, to just be like, "Oh man, that was a really good drawing, David. Oh, thanks. Yeah, the hands are too big. I was tired. You know, I wish I'd done this. This would have been different." It's like, why do we do that? Why do you, you know, you could just be like, "Thanks."
Yeah. And that's something I learned, like, after I watched someone's, improv set, I bumped into them outside the theater afterwards, and I said, "Hey man, good show." And I was sincere about it. It was a good show. And then they took like a few minutes to tell me everything about the show that they didn't like. And it made me feel like, "Wow, you're being a real asshole right now. Just let me have this moment. Like, you know, and then I realized that I can kind of do that a little bit, not as severely as they did. But yeah, it's, if someone enjoys, your work, it's not your job to talk them out of it. You know, like let people have that, you know, let them have that enjoyment, and don't try to take that away from you. Like, you should be probably the last person to try to take that away from them.
Yeah. Because nobody feels better after. Like, they don't feel better. You don't feel better.
Yeah.
Like, what does it add? I don't know.
Like, you can feel shitty about your work and just keep it to yourself so that only one person feels shitty about it, you know? Just contain that.
You know what I try to focus on when someone gives me a compliment and I feel the need to... Well, there's two extremes you can go with. You can either be super, like, self-deferential, or you could be, like, super arrogant, which isn't good either. Like, yeah, I know. So you want to be in that sweet spot, right? But what I try to focus on is, like, instead of, like, talking more about what I did, I genuinely, like... thank them for telling me that. Like, I focus on them. I'm like, thank you so much for saying that to me. That means a lot to me. So now the focus is away from me. And it's about, they took the time to say this to me, which is like a really nice thing for them to do. So then I turn it around on them and are like, thank you so much for saying that.
But it's okay for the focus to be on you. No?
Sure. But this is a strategy that I use when I feel myself... When I feel myself like wanting to deflect, I'm like, okay, just make it about them. And I'll be like, thank you so much for saying that. And then they'll deflect and be like, oh, it's nothing. I'm just.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. I'm just, you know. I feel like that's one of the best strategies for people like us, I think, that tend to be modest about our own work, is to accept the compliment, thank them for coming and for sharing, and then pivoting towards them, you know, how did you find the theater, you know, things like that, and get into their story, because that's like talking to someone else about them is a lot more interesting to me than talking about me, you know. I don't necessarily want it to, I know about me, which is maybe kind of selfish, but it also gets me away from like having to discuss this show that I may or may not feel great about, but almost certainly don't want to talk about.
Right. Well, you know, Jamie, you reached out to Dennis and I and complimented our podcast, and that meant so much to both of us. Like, it really did. I like, yeah, the whole day I was like running on a high, because it just it felt so genuine, right? Because it was just like, and you know, just that you took the time to do it. Because I think a lot of times people will think it and not take the time to, like, say it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, instead of being like, let's talk more about the podcast, it's like, no, thank you so much for, like, taking the step to tell me. It means a lot. And now my day is going to be so great.
And it did mean a lot to me. It did. And I appreciated it. Especially because I respect you so much as a performer.
Thanks.
I just want to go back to this idea, because I don't think I articulated it very well, and I just want to defend my point.
Okay.
I think it's okay to take a moment and have the thing that someone says, a compliment that's about you,
okay,
and make it about you for a moment.
You're
because,
right.
Because
you're
right. It's our, well, thanks. Our instinct is to be like, somebody says like, oh, you know, that was a great show. You just be like, oh, thank you for coming. Thank you for watching. You're so kind. You know, I don't know, but just like, yeah, thanks. I mean, sometimes I'll, you know, maybe I'm an asshole. Tell me, AITA.
No,
some people say, like, that was a great show. And I'll be like, it was a great show, right? You know, and just take a moment and just like, but thank you for saying it. But like, take a second and just be like, I did do something that I'm proud of. And I don't want to like shit on it or lessen it or like pretend that what you said, I don't know.
No, I agree with you, and I'm glad you reiterated this point, because Jamie's, we're so self-aware on this podcast, so you're seeing in real time our breakthroughs, yeah. Like we're in therapy. Yeah. I
told my therapist today, by the way, that I think this, that I feel like this is a second therapy. So sorry.
I think my reaction to like make the focus on the other person is probably due to my discomfort with like having the spotlight on me. So I agree with you. I think like it's fine to talk about the other person, but don't do it out of fear of having the spotlight on you. Like step in the spotlight, take that moment, take that grace. And then, and of course, thank them and be gracious and genuinely thank them. But I think you're right. I think maybe my instinct to do that was fear-based. So I'm glad you reiterated that point.
Yeah, and I think I was coming from a place where, like, if you didn't enjoy doing the show as much as someone seemed to appreciate it, like you thought you did a bad show and they really liked it, I think that's kind of like a technique for being gracious about it. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And that's something that I've learned, that it's okay to like your stuff, you know, and not feign that modesty about it, you know, just like, yeah, I really like that shot too, you know, which is something that I found myself saying more and more when someone compliments a picture. It's like, yeah, thank you. I like it too.
Yeah.
But I don't want to. I think because I tend to be shy. I don't necessarily want to talk about myself too much.
Right. I think we're gonna title this podcast episode "The Perfect Way to Accept a Compliment."
I like learning to love the burn, but maybe we'll talk.
So many. Why don't we take a quick break?
Let's take a quick break. We'll work it out. We'll slug it out.
We'll work it out. And then we'll come back. And I have so many more questions. So see you after the break.
And we're back.
We're back. Just
shaking off the dust of that green room.
Oh my gosh, so much fighting in there.
It's so dusty. You know what it is? It's all the woodwork, because we keep adding to it.
Yes.
Sawdust.
It's beautiful, though. Like, you can see where it's going, and it's like, wow. Like, I would like to go back. I don't necessarily need to come back to the show, but I would like to go back to the green room.
Let me be clear. I do not want to be on the show again.
No. I don't. I just wanted to be clear that I wasn't trying to impose. Like, we were talking a little.
I'm joking.
I almost didn't do this because I was in my head. I felt like, are they just inviting me because I complimented them on the show, and did it seem like I was trying to tell them, hey, I really like your show, subtext, put me on. Cause that wasn't it at all. I just wanted to say, like,
that's not how I read it at all, or how I think Dennis read it at all. I think we were just like, oh,
I enjoyed talking to you.
Yes.
And that's
we interview interesting people that we would love to talk with.
A dear
that's
friend.
That's it. Yeah.
Especially if you can have your best butt on. And I ultimately, that's what it came down to for me, was like just kind of trusting you guys, and also just being like, yeah, I really like talking to them anyway. So if nothing else, it's just an excuse to like have a conversation with them. That's enough for me. And then also just being like, I don't think they're trying to fuck up their own podcast by inviting duds.
Duds.
So I'm going to trust that they really have me on. And I wasn't sure what I would want to talk about. I think the first thing that came to my mind was toy pictures. And I was like, does anyone want to hear about that? And so I don't know. But it was, at the time, it's a thing that I'm most passionate about. So
Yeah. No, I love it. And I actually, I wrote down so many things before the break that I wanted to stream of consciousness just blurt out. And you guys can react to it however you want.
Are these going to be unrelated random strings of words?
No. So Jamie, you had mentioned like when you first, like your first photo, I think you said something of like, you kind of threw it up and it was like maybe a, like not a joke, but like a, maybe kind of like a joke. It's, or like, I don't know. I you said something about your first photo that you put up.
It's just like a fun and side project.
Yeah.
I woke up on Christmas and was like, I want to do something for some of my friends. So,
yeah, but it felt like really low stakes. Yes. Like, oh, I'm just doing this one thing, like no big deal. And it reminded me about how like sometimes I want to do something, but I feel vulnerable about it. So I have to kind of hide it. So as an example, for Halloween one year, I just decided to dress how I was too afraid to dress. Like I had this like kind of like hipstery outfit that involved suspenders. And it was like,
I know what you're talking about. I've seen this.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is such a cute photo, but like I can't pull it off. Like people will make fun of me. They'll be like, Ellen, who do you think you are? Like, why are you trying to be a hipster or whatever? And I'm like, I just think this is like a fun style. I think it's cute. But I did it on Halloween so that I could have the cover of be, oh, this is my Halloween costume. Like, yeah. This isn't me being vulnerable. Like, you know, I'm like, it's a joke. It's just a joke. It's no big deal. And then I was like, maybe if I do it for Halloween, then I can like slowly like keep elements of it. And that didn't end up happening. Huh. But I just, it's this idea of like when you really are interested in doing something, but you think it's like childish or dumb or lame, or you don't think those things, but you think other people will think those things, that you kind of do it in this hidden way. Do you relate to that?
Yeah, it was, I think that was definitely, doing that picture, was kind of a gateway, for me to at least attempt it, you know,
it's a gateway,
and see if I liked it. And then also kind of gauge, people's responses to it. Like I didn't keep it to myself. I did send it out to a few people and they were pretty enthusiastic about it. And again, just, you know, trusting them that they're being honest with me. It gave me a little bit, more confidence. It still took a while for me to kind of dive in a little bit, but it did give me more confidence to kind of pursue it further.
Yeah. And it's like, it takes courage to be like, it takes courage to just like tell people what you enjoy, you know, without fear of judgment. And then the other thing I wanted to, what came up for me with talking to you was like this idea about like what is meant for little kids and what's meant for adults. Right. So, toys, those are for kids, right? Mm-hmm. Dressing up. If you want to talk about like trying out off it, like playing dress up, that's like something for kids. That's not something that adults do. Improv, playing make-believe, that's not something that adults do. And like this idea of like, what's for kids in our society is seen as almost like, it's definitely a negative connotation, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And I've, to be honest, like, I've kind of thought had those kind of thoughts about, people I know. Like I have a friend that's, really into Disney, and I've probably had like the same, and this is hypocritical, but I've had those same kind of thoughts that I was wary of about them. And then right. I got to a point where it was just like, And I think this is like in general, like if people don't like certain movies that I like or vice versa, someone really likes a movie and I'm like, that movie is a piece of trash. You know, who cares? You know, like I'm willing to have an honest discussion about it, but I'm done with trashing people for the things that bring them joy. If this is something that makes you happy, brings you a little bit of happiness, and it doesn't hurt anyone else.
Yes.
Do you? Like, that's, I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you enjoyed that movie that I couldn't stand, you know, and it may take like a little restraint for me to get there, but it does, like, once in a while, I'll be on like the internet, like Facebook or something, and a friend of mine will be like, oh man, I love this movie. And I'm like passionate about how much it fucking sucks, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't want to be the person that takes that away from them. If they liked it, and I'm honestly glad, like, you know, this movie that I hate, I'm honestly glad that it brought someone that I like or care about, that it brought them joy, you know, that it brought them back to their childhood and brought
What's
back.
What's the movie, Jamie?
Rise What's of Skywalker.
That's the third new one, right?
That's the last one, yeah. But like, I'm honestly glad, and I really can't stand that movie. It's the only Star Wars movie that I've only watched once. And I don't think I'll ever revisit it. But that being said,
you're a Star Wars head.
I'm a big Star Wars head, man. A huge Star Wars head. I am honestly glad that someone that I like, they loved it, and they're happy with it, and they walked out of it as if they were on cloud nine. Good for you. I'm honestly happy for you. You know,
we're
not
nice
gonna yuck your yum, right?
Yeah.
You know, something I can relate to. I just want to something I can relate to about that is. I read this comic because I read comic books, superhero comic books, and I'm probably a little self-conscious about that because they're, you know, I'm, you know.
Comic books are for children. Be, you know.
But I'll also say.
I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah, but I also want to point out that you're an incredible artist. Like, I've seen your drawings and your comic art, and it's phenomenal. Like, the first time I saw it, I was like, Dennis? So,
well, thank you so much. I'm sit trying in that now to
spotlight.
Practice being
sit
gracious
in that spotlight, Dennis.
I am proud of quite a lot of those drawings. If I posted it, I'm proud of it.
Yes.
So thank you. Yeah, I did it. I sat in it. But so to speak. But I just wanted to say that, I posted something the other day that was like, I was reading these comics because I've got Marvel Unlimited, so I can read as many bad comics as I want to. And I thought, oh man, I got a great burn on this. I got a great burn on this comic that nobody's read in 20 years. and I went online and I posted it on Twitter maybe or Facebook. And I was like, ha ha ha. And then, like, our buddy Max Bank was like, oh, I like that. And then I felt bad. I was like, well, I didn't need to. And then I was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to, like, shit on a 20-year-old comic that everybody else is shit on or movie or whatever. Like, nobody asked me for this opinion. And, like, somebody out there might like it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel bad when I see somebody post something like, this movie sucked. And I'm like, oh, I liked it.
Yeah. And I think also part of it is I don't think anyone sets out to make a bad movie, you know, like
for sure.
Most of the time, if you're making a movie like that, that's a lot of resources and a lot of time. You're trying to make something that's good, that people will like. So just to kind of, honor at least those efforts, I'm not going to just randomly shit on something, you know?
Yeah.
But again, if someone asks me my opinion, I will be honest about it. But yeah, sure. I'm not gonna go out of my way to try to clown someone else's art or their efforts. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's still space for critique, right, and conversation and disagreements, but you know, it's a tricky balance, I think, because I don't think, like, you know, post art and then no one gets to say anything negative, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, no, people are allowed to have their thoughts, but, like, you know, if someone, if I think, like, the problem is, like, if someone's really enjoying it and you're like, well, then you suck for enjoying it, like, that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
And that's, you can have your opinion, but
that's sometimes you are saying that in a passive aggressive kind of way of, like, I don't know.
Anybody who enjoys this is a stupid loser.
But sometimes I do enjoy having, like, those kind of conversations because most of the time, yeah, I'll be pretty fixed in my opinion, especially if it's something that I've thought about a lot and, like, compiled all these reasons that I don't like something. But once in a while, I'll have a conversation with someone that has the opposite view. And while they may not get me to, like, do a 180 on it, maybe they'll get me to do, like, a 45 on it, you know, where like, I don't hate it as much, or I'll see some validity in what they're trying to do. Like, that's happened a lot with the Star Wars prequels, where one of the people that's involved with it now talked about, like, what was important about, like, this one scene from Phantom Menace. And hearing that explanation was like, oh, you know, I still don't love that movie, but at least I appreciate it on some level. And I think that's kind of, that was a good thing for me to learn how to do, is just, even if I don't, if I don't like or love something, what are things about that thing that I can appreciate? And then,
yeah,
and it makes me a better watcher, like a more active watcher of media and content, because I'm not just passively like, I feel like I don't like this, or I feel like I love it. Knowing why you like these things, I think is a more interesting way to kind of consume this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can be fun to, like, quote unquote, argue with somebody at a bar about something you like and they hate, or something they, you know, they love and you think it's garbage. Like, it can be fun.
Sure.
I don't know. All these things we're talking about, there's degrees. There's context, there's nuance, there's tone.
Of course.
I once told my sister, we were having a discussion, I think it was like Michael Jackson versus Madonna, and
when did this conversation take place?
It was a few years ago, and it was the first time I had seen, like, a lot of my family in a while. So it was like my dad and one of my sisters and a couple of my brothers, and we were at a bar having some drinks, and that may have played into a little bit, but this conversation came up, and I think she was, like, more pro Madonna, and I told, and she has, like, a master's degree in education, and I was like, you need to give your degrees back, because that's insane that you would think. And I was joking, and I hope that I made that clear. I hope that she didn't give those degrees back, because she certainly earned them, and applies them in her daily work. But it was like a fun, like, conversation that we could kind of go over the top with. So yeah, it is fun to have those discussions and kind of go over the top when you feel comfortable enough with someone.
Yeah, you just got to know, like, you know, don't, like, hey, I'm going to shit on you because it's fun, to somebody that you don't know that well. It's like, don't do that. Just be nice.
Yeah.
But if they're your brother or your sister, tell them to give their degrees back.
Listen, everything we say, you know, understand there's always context and nuance. We make a lot of declarative statements on the show, yeah, but
I disagree.
Every situation is different.
Every statement I've made, I both agree with and completely disagree with.
And that's the beauty. That's the beauty. Both and. Okay, life is a contradiction, and we need to be okay in that space.
Yes. Well, I think we ought to start wrapping up now, right, Ellen?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Jamie, thanks so much. Thanks so much for talking to us. This is, every time I talk to you, it's always a good time.
Well, thanks for having me. I really am like a fan of the show. Like every Thursday was like one of the first things I do when I get on my phone is download the your latest episode. And it's
probably the first
or like the next podcast I'll listen to after I've downloaded it. I've listened to this before. I've just gotten into the Always Sunny podcast.
Uh-huh. Oh, nice.
And I'll listen to you guys before. And there was like that one week.
That's right. You heard it here.
There was that one week where you took off.
Yeah, unannounced.
Yeah. Were you upset?
I was like, what's going on? Did they sleep in and just not upload the episode? Is that automatic?
That was a
thing?
Stressful week. That was a very stressful.
Oh, no, that's fine. And I have like a ton of podcasts to do, but I did notice it. And I think there was like an update later in the day. It's like, yeah, we're taking the week off. And I was like, huh. Because I thought it was like something that I did. Like, oh.
Look,
why isn't there like a new? Did I not do a phone update? Or what do I have to do to get the next episode, man? So thanks for keeping me in the loop so I knew that it wasn't just something that I was missing out on. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I'm very flattered and even honored. That you would ask me to be on. So thank you.
Well, oh my goodness. You were a fantastic guest and a fantastic friend. And if we made that clear enough. Yeah.
And we take your compliment and we take it in.
Hold
and
it.
Thank you.
Did you see me deflect? Dennis, did you see me deflect?
No, I didn't.
I deflected a little.
Did you?
I deflected. Yes, but it was deflection towards Jamie, which is always a good thing. But
we're proud of this show. We're proud of it.
Proud of it. We got to sit in it. But now I'm too uncomfortable. So let's talk about Jamie again. Yeah, Jamie, you're awesome.
Jamie, you can find Jamie's action figure photos on Instagram. Jam Riv Figs. JAMRIVFIGS. Give them a follow. They're gorgeous. You're going to enjoy them, especially if you like
they're toys, really great.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Marvel Comics, which I like at least 2 out of 3 of those. Or how did I say 4 times?
You can also follow him on Twitter at Mr._JAMRIV. And Jimmy, where can we see you perform? Some improv.
People want to see you perform. Where do they see
If
you?
People want to see you perform, where they can do. They do that?
You can find me at the Magnet Theater. I perform in a show called The Armando Diaz Experience, or ADX, which Dennis is also a part of. And I'm not sure when this episode is going up, but towards the end of February, we'll be putting up shows again. And it would be great to have people watch us.
Oh, that would make things easier.
Magnet Theater, Saturday nights.
Also, if you want to take an improv class with Jamie, he's also a teacher at Magnet. So check out magnettheater.com.
Yeah. This has been great. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you want to follow us, we're on Facebook at The Pursuit of Perfectness. Send us an email. Let us know. If you know someone that you think we'd be interested in talking to, email us at pursuitofperfectness@gmail.com.
Or send us a DM on Instagram.
That'll be faster.
That'll be faster. You're already there. Yeah. You're on Instagram right now. We know it.
Tell your friends about this show. Rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you're still doing Spotify, or, you know, if you're Neil Young, You're not.
Yeah, what's the deal with Spotify?
What's the deal with Spotify?
All right, we got to wrap this up.
All right. Well, until next time, folks, be a little less hard on yourselves.
Nailed it. Stop recording.